Technology 101. We're going to talk about VCRs and Betamax.
Does anyone have a VHS cleaner?
It's retro. That's all you have to think about. This is retro talks here.
It's just my laptop having epileptic seizure. It's all right.
Don't worry. You'll see a pink bunny behind the screen if you stare long enough.
Pink bunny?
Yes. Oh, really?
Awesome. No, that's fine. It's not the worst that I've been recorded saying. So.
Oh, wasn't he? He was like. It wasn't a Bush like sitting in a chair somewhere and he's like laughing, and after that he flicked off the cameraman. And, like,
All right. Well, this is the open source intelligence talk. This is basically not going to be as I had originally intended, as one of the other speakers wasn't able to make it, and we had a little bit of a problem with our slides. But I'm Nexus. You guys can call me Mike, Nexus, Nexus Logic. Take your pick. It doesn't really matter. I'll answer to most of it. I've been doing IT work since 2003, everything from web hosting to just helping people get online at hotels. I've been involved with open source intelligence and open source information in an amateur aspect since 06. I'm a founding member of a local Youngstown group called Nemesis Research Group, which is pretty much just a bunch of guys getting together, drinking, and playing with computers. And I'm the web administrator for OhioHackers.com.
Hi, everybody just refers to me as Sippy Cup. If you're like a real, real old person, Commodore 64 type guy, I used to go by Vision. So, also, I've worked with hotels and so on, and we're going to talk about a little bit about how even where you're at right now, you're being collected data from. So we're going to go ahead and talk about that a little bit, and of course I am the number one classic nerd, so if you guys like to talk to me about a TI-99/4A or poke and peek commands, I would love to talk about stuff like that. So.
All right, so what we're going to be discussing, and of course this slide doesn't work, what we're going to be discussing today is going to be a few definitions on what open source intelligence is. I just gathered three definitions that I thought were the best that sort of explained it the best way, or at least definitions that I liked. We'll be talking about who exactly is using it. We'll be discussing what kind of information they're looking for. We were going to try and focus just primarily on what kind of information they're looking for as far as regular people, but due to unseen circumstances, we had to expand a little bit to a little bit of business intelligence as well. We'll be talking a little bit on how they're collecting the information. If we get a little bit of time, I'm going to talk a little bit about the privacy issues that's revolving around open source information and open source intelligence. And I know we haven't posted during closing to ask questions, but if you guys have any questions while we're going through the discussion, feel free, raise your hand, we'll get you a mic and make sure you guys can ask your question. So what is open source intelligence? Well, Wikipedia gives us probably what I considered one of the worst out of the three definitions, and why did it do?
I hate your computer.
So do I. Wikipedia refers to it as a form of intelligence collection management that includes finding, selecting, acquiring information from public available sources, analyzing it to produce actionable intelligence. That is ridiculous, and I have no idea why they made it sound so complex. SEMP.us had a lot better of one, which was information of potential intelligence value that is available to the general public, as from newspapers, the internet, books, phone books, scientific journals, radio broadcasts, television, and different sources like that. The best one was actually from a U.S. Army Authorization Act in 2006, and they probably gave the best description that open source intelligence is the product of publicly available information that is collected, exploited, and disseminated in a timely manner to the appropriate audience for purpose of addressing a specific intelligence requirement. That's actually the best definition I've ever ran into, because it's not just saying, well, you can go and find a little bit of information here or there. It's literally saying you are exploiting this person's information. So if it means you're just gathering the information and selling it, or you're just gathering the information and holding on to it, it's a lot better. Well, as far as definition goes. I particularly like how they say it's going to an appropriate audience and a specific intelligence requirement. In the aspect of, say, an oil company, when the oil spill happened in the Gulf, I guarantee you they had people who were watching different news feeds and checking out blog sites and reporting to someone for specifically what was going on, what kind of information was going out, what were people saying about the oil spill. And then people were sending that to, I'm sure, their public relations department to try and do a little bit of damage control. So who all is using open source intelligence? Well, you have your basic private citizen, people like us, and that would range from anywhere from a jealous boyfriend or girlfriend, a bail bondsman. A lot of them have been using that. At least I can name two accounts in the Youngstown area where they actually were using the person's Facebook and their Twitter site to monitor where they were at so they can go and try and catch them for a warrant. Amateur private investigators, that would be somebody who thinks they're a private investigator, does private investigator practices without actually being licensed in it. And who else but, you know, your average stalker, whether it be cyber stalker or that guy you happened to meet at that bar that one time who just happened to get your phone number and your address.
You're scaring the one girl that's in this conference. Oh, wait, I see there's another one back there also. Don't scare them, they'll run away.
We broke it down to business and corporations. Specifically, we're going to be talking about the marketing department, the human resources department, and the public relations department. And then who else can we forget about but governments. Governments want to have your information as well, and they use the same thing. There was a report done in, I think, 2004 or 2005 by a U.S. Army officer. It's actually publicly available now, where he actually was explaining how the U.S. military was using different blog sites that Al-Qaeda used to try and narrow down terrorist cells and try and get rid of a lot of the propaganda sites that they had, the recruiting sites. So I'll have it up on my website, ohiohackers.com, later on. It's actually a really good PDF file. It's a really good report, and they cover a lot of stuff. Now, as far as private citizens, I mean, they're your average person, your average jealous boyfriend, or even we'll say your average stalker. That would probably be the best example for some of the information on here. They're going to be looking for your name, your address, your phone number, maybe depending upon how crazy they are, they're going to be looking for your date of birth. A hacker who's trying to get information on you might be looking for your email addresses, your usernames, your messenger IDs, because that's all ways that they can start Googling and pulling more information about you. Of course, everybody's going to be checking the social networking sites, personal web pages. Of course, like I said before, your Facebook page, unless you have it set to private where only your friends can view it, anybody can view your site, anybody can view any comments you're making, any comments that your friends are making to you, and that gives them the ability to start to build a profile on you. Not just a profile as in they want to know, you know, your name, your address, what sites you go to, but also get the ability to start collecting more detailed information. Well, what's your dog's name? What's your favorite color? And then they can, to the extent where they can go and try and reset your password, try and pull Sarah Palin who got hacked that way, where they just guessed your password.
Yeah.
Geolocation and your whereabouts, that would be more toward like the bail bondsmen, private investigators, of course, stalker, and then to the finer extent, your social security number. If it happens to be an ID thief, maybe it's a brother or sister or relative who needs money, and they decide to steal your identity to try and get money if you have good credit.
Or also one of the major things with a social security number, especially people that are recently deceased, you can, unfortunately, Kevin Mitnick was one of the people that pioneered this too. You would get that recently deceased social security number, then after that you would actually go ahead and get the birth certificate and become this person, because it doesn't process through the system as fast as you would think. There's a lot of red tape and before this person's actually considered really dead. So, you know, you could literally change your identity by just having a social security number. You could get a new driver's license, a new credit card, and you could just be entirely somebody else. So you really would like to protect your social security number as much as possible.
Yeah, I mean, to what he was saying as far as people passing, my dad passed away 4 years ago. We're still getting spam mail for him at my house. So, Next thing we look at is corporations and businesses. Of course, they're going to be looking for most of the stuff the private citizen's looking for. Corporation wants to know who you are, you know, what you're buying. Human resources department might do some background checks on you. They'll be monitoring specific world events, like I had mentioned before about the oil spill. I'm sure there's companies, especially computer-based companies, that are keeping a really close eye on what's going on with Japan as far as a lot of parts that we use here in the U.S. come from there. They monitor the latest trends, you know, the what's hot, what's not, who's popular, who's not popular, and that can all go toward advertising to specific
target advertising?
Yeah, target advertising to specific groups of people, whether it be they're targeting the high school group, males, or they're trying to get people to buy, you know, the latest shoes for the 12-year-old girls so they have Justin Bieber on the video because he's really popular right now, apparently. They also are going to be viewing a lot of the customer's purchasing history. And I'll get on that. There's actually a few different ways they do that. The one way I had thought was really funny on how they do it, but I'll explain that a little bit later on. You're going to say something?
Oh, no. If we're going to explain that later,
okay.
I was going to use this audience as an example.
All right. So in specific, as far as business intelligence goes, as far as what companies are looking for, the marketing department might be looking for a generalized location. They want to know where you're at, because a lot of that is going to influence as far as how they're trying to advertise to you. They might be looking at monitoring the latest trends, like I had mentioned. They want to know what average products you use. If it's Johnson & Johnson monitoring what you're using, they want to know what Johnson & Johnson products you're going after. I know at Giant Eagle, if anybody's from Ohio or knows of Giant Eagle, they actually, if you go and use their checkout system, they have automated checkouts. If you averagely buy the DiGiorno pizzas, and you do that all the time, say once a week you go to the store, you buy your groceries, you get a DiGiorno pizza. This week you went to the store, you bought your groceries, you didn't get a DiGiorno pizza. The machine will actually spit out you a receipt of a DiGiorno pizza because it knows that's what you averagely buy. And obviously you didn't buy it this time, so there must be a reason. So, well, here's a little discount. Try and give you encouragement to try and buy that product. They want to know what stores you commonly use, and they want to know what social networking sites you go to, and such as a lot of companies now have a Facebook site. Everyone has a Facebook site. Everyone uses Twitter. The Human Resources Department is going to all reflect around the same thing. They're doing a basic background check on people. They're going to be doing credit checks. A lot of companies now are doing credit checks. And actually, my one buddy was actually giving me a really good reasons for they're doing that is, if you happen to have be on the list for child support, stuff like that. And they'll do a check and review of recommended new hires. If you've been working at a company for 10 years and you recommend your friend and your friend applies, well, they're going to try and see the correlation. What do you guys do together? I know at least one company that has done that to me, and that actually is what caused me not to get the job. The public relations department, monitoring world events related to the company's interest. Political views and candidates, you want to cover that one? Because that was actually your suggestion.
That would be a fun one to cover. usually when you you go through political candidates and so on, basically a lot of corporations actually start backing certain political candidates. Now, for example, let's say big corporation A decides to back a Democratic candidate in your local city or state or whatever. Well, let's just say you're not for that Democratic candidate, you're for another one, or you're for a liberal candidate or some other party, Republican, whatever. But let's just say you're a big player in that that campaign. You're out there, you're hitting every street. You're going out there, you're handing out flyers, you're even advertising around work. This is actually not looking good for this company, right? So this company will actually use some of its resources, going back to human resources, data mining you as a person, and then after that, they'll find something that they don't like. Or like, for instance, you post a remark saying, oh God, I really hate work. Or the one wonderful thing that a lot of people say, like, I would trade my system admin password for a whatchamacallit bar. So, stuff like that eventually will start looking bad at you when you're actually giving out this information, you know, freely, even if it is sarcastic information. So it would give the company, a reason to try to eliminate you out of their status quo so that they can actually, you know, continue on with what they want to support. So, you know, that's just a conflicting view of interests usually that happens. So that's usually what political views and so on tend to be. Or like, for instance, you're applying to a company that, you know, did do some data mining on you before you got hired in. And then after that they say, well, this guy doesn't really believe in what I believe in, or he doesn't do this and that. Equal opportunity, yes, it is a big thing across the United States, but you would have to prove it that they didn't hire you for some sort of reason like that. But, and it's usually kind of hard to, but usually what they'll do is they'll be like, well, we hired another person that has maybe a, you know, more experience or something like that. So there's little ways around it and so on.
And then, of course, they're going to be monitoring your consumer thoughts and views on a product. I mean, that right there is sort of basic. So how exactly are they finding information? Well, you take somebody's email address or you take somebody's username, you put it into Google, and you're going to get a lot of results. Specifically, they're going to be looking for your blog sites, your social networking sites. I know myself, when I'm trying to profile someone, I'm looking for a lot more. I'm looking at what forums they go to. I'm checking their forum sites. I gather all kind of information I probably shouldn't gather, and I go a little bit excessive about it. But, I mean, to me, that gives me more information. That gives me more ways to be able to get verified information. If you have 12 different forums that you post on, and out of those 12 different forums that you're using, you have the same name and same address, likely, it's more than likely that's probably your real name and your real address. If you have your, what's that, social security number? If you have your date of birth on there, best way I can put it is, as far as for the forums and using search engines, they're just gathering all the information they can at once. As far as open source information, they collect it, they collaborate it, and they put it into a report. They're also checking your Messenger accounts. If it's an angry boyfriend or girlfriend, I know a bunch of my friends who gave the password to their Facebook or the password to their email to their significant other, but refused to give it the other way around. My one buddy actually got in a lot of trouble with his girlfriend. She logged onto his Facebook page, and one of his old high school friends, who was a girl, IM'd him. And was just talking about the old times and saying they should get together. And of course, she flipped out over him because she didn't know this girl. Why is this random girl IMing him, trying to get him to go and hang out? So about 2 weeks of fighting ensued after that. Yeah, it was the bad spell. They'll use a lot of reverse address sites and phone lookup sites. If they have your phone number, if I get a prank call, I've had people randomly call me, I will go on Google and I will go on the reverse lookup sites just to try and get an idea of who the hell just called me and why are they calling me. A lot of the times I've had it where I've actually checked out the friends of people's Facebook pages or people's friends on Facebook because they had their, what you call, blocks. So I would try and find out who their friends are so that I can get them to add me so that I can view the profile. And now it's not working.
You broke it.
There you go. Businesses, they're going to be looking for pre-collected databases. Mm-hmm. Anytime you fill out a survey, especially I'm sure you've seen at local malls how they have win this car and they have the little survey, they have the little pamphlet you have to fill out. We all know that where that information is going. It's all going into some corporation's database. But a lot of people don't think about that. They think, oh, there's a car. I can have a chance to win it. I'll fill out a bunch of these and send them in. But that all goes into a predefined database. Companies are buying that database. How do you think telemarketers get your numbers? News feeds are a lot of things that businesses monitor. We discussed a little bit ago. Different internet resources. Machines transmissions would be emails that are out in the public. If you're on a mailing list, I know something like BugTrax. I had one post on BugTrax, and if I Google search my email address, I find that thing on sites that I didn't even know existed. Like, did you know China, or not China, different Japanese and Arabic sites actually reprint it? And it's stuff that makes no sense. I mean, it's not even really valid information. It's like people asking a question and getting no replies. You have your background checking sites, stuff like Intellis. There's Intellis, there's Spock.com. A real interesting one that I ran into was IntegraScan.com. What's really messed up about that site is they have a reverse social security lookup. You could put in any name, anybody's random name. You could put in what state that it's supposed to be from, and you could put in any random social security number. And the site will actually produce the real person's name, all their social security, well, all their social security number again, and all the addresses. So if you think about it, anybody who has access to that site, they don't even need to pay for an account now. They can just go to the site, put in the CAPTCHA, put in Joe Schmo for the user or for the first and last name, put in any random social security number, and they're going to get that person's real name, and they're going to get all their addresses.
What site is that?
IntegraScan.com.
Oh, it's affecting this room now. Yeah. Ooh. Take that one.
Another thing, as far as the background checking sites, stuff like IntegraScan and Intellis, I actually tried to get myself delisted off a few of those sites, and it is incredibly difficult to have your information removed off those sites. It's actually easier to get removed and get delisted off of whitepages.com than it is to get delisted and removed from Spok.com, and especially with the IntegraScan, they actually use 8 different databases from different companies. And as you were saying, right now you're being affected. If you're staying at the hotel, if you paid with a credit card at the hotel, guarantee you whatever credit card company you use, they now know you use this hotel. They might not know that you were coming to this hotel for a conference, but they know you stayed at this hotel. And that's information that they might be able to sell to other companies.
Also, let's just say for an example, you, sir, with white shirt, let's just say you're from T-shirt Company A. You're just doing a low-tech type of version of this. Now, say you wanted to sell the T-shirts that promote this conference or something. Sitting in this room right now, what you would probably sell is black shirts, because there's a lot of people here with black shirts, and there's a few people here with red shirts. Obviously, you wouldn't sell anything with the green shirt, because there's only 2 people here, right? So you're not going to try to promote all that kind of stuff, but you're going to carry those types of colors. Also, let's just say, how many of you people decided to use the hotel internet here? Anybody connected to H Honors or anything? Oh, you did in the back? Oh, you did? Okay, now, the particular server here is actually developed by Second Rule Limited. The server itself is called an IP3. Now, this server actually gathers a little bit of information from everything you do. For instance, it'll gather statistics. Say, hey, you like to visit site A. You found that 15 people in the hotel like site A, but 50 other people in the hotel decided to go to site B. The server will now start pre-caching site B in order to pull it up faster for you. Also, that information can be sold yet again to another company saying, well, your site is pretty popular. Now you can actually sell advertising on site B because it is localized to this area. So site B will take that information and say, I notice there's Wrigley Stadium not too far from here. They would go over there and say, hey, you want to advertise for the tribe on our site? We have, you know, X amount of people that go to this hotel that's near your stadium, and you can advertise on our site. Now, another thing that could affect this room, like right now, would be for, say, people that I would imagine not too many people do this, leave their phone unlocked or open to gather or seeking Bluetooth. I would imagine everybody here is pretty confident enough to leave their Bluetooth off. Well, if there's somebody walking around doing some high-tech data mining, of course they're going to try to connect to some of those Bluetooth networks and usually grab some little bits of trinkets of info.
How many of you, for your Bluetooth, for when it's broadcasting, how many of you have your name? That is awesome. That is probably the best response I got to that question in a while. If I go and sit at the local Denny's that's by my house and turn on the Bluetooth to my phone and just see what open Bluetooths are around, I will see people's names. I've seen people that just have their phone number on there. I've actually seen people that have the link code
to link
for their to pair their device with another device. So, how dumb is that to put? I mean, I understand putting your name if you have a bunch of people that are in one room. I even understand putting the phone number to a certain extent, but I could not understand why they actually had the pairing password for their phone. I mean, we could have sat right here. I could have force paired their phone to my computer and gone through their entire phone. But anyway, I digress. Let's.
Well, we could talk on that for hours.
Yeah. Oh, that's it.
Oh, you broke it.
Yeah, it's broke. That's as far as the talk. That's pretty much all we have for the slides. Does anybody have any questions?
Are there any reverse lookups for driver license or license plates?
There are some. He asked if there are any reverse lookups for, like, say, driver's plates, or I'm sorry, license plates. As far as Ohio goes, the closest you're going to have is check and see if a vanity plate's in use. But I was actually at the Deep Magic 101 talk, and they had made mention you can actually go to the DMV and request information on a lost title, and they'll give you all the information. And that usually includes the name, the address, the phone number, the license number of the person. And usually with you can actually do quite a bit with somebody's license number alone. No, well,
no.
I mean, you can. That might make it quicker.
It depends on.
They might
how
give
big
you a. They might give
behind.
You a bigger printup then. But yeah, I mean, I've a few people have mentioned to me before that there are some states that have that for their DMV. How true that is, I don't know. I've never ran into it doing any of my searches. But I mean, it's very likely. I mean, I've seen it with the Youngstown, Ohio's clerk of court system for a while on the older dockets. Actually had people's social security numbers that were in the public on the internet public access terminal or public access for the docket system. So I mean, it's every state's different. Every DMV is different. It just all depends on how that state handles it.
Also, on the flip side of that, also if you know a person's address or general street, you can actually go. There's an actual site in Ohio.gov. where you can go to, and then after that you can go ahead and actually start looking up, and you will pull the full information of the name of the person that owns said lot or whatever, and the full address, and on top of that their phone number and all their tax information. Now this is very, very kind of instrumental. So if you have like a neighbor that you really, really hate, I really hate to say this, if you have a neighbor that you really, really hate, you can actually, if they owe taxes, you could put a lien on their lot and buy their lot out under them. So it's very.
I tried doing that with a house behind me because it looks abandoned, but the guy is paying the taxes on it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If they're.
Ted. No. All that information is stuff that you put out in the public, especially your Facebook.
Yeah.
The best protection you can have against a company checking your Facebook is to have your Facebook or your MySpace page set on private. Make sure you're not using geolocation on your Twitter, and just watch what you say. I mean, that's literally you have. I mean, when it comes,
also don't friend a company either. That's the other.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah, that'd be another thing. Don't friend the president of the company that you're applying for, or anything of that nature. I mean, as far as I know, there's not too many, I don't think there's any laws that would restrict them from being able to check that information because it's all public information. It's all in the public domain. Mike.
You mentioned Giant Eagle. There's also like Kroger's and all big types of
grocery stores.
Are you able to remove yourself from those types of databases?
It's actually kind of hard to do so, believe it or not, because once you actually become a Giant Eagle preferred customer, I'm definitely one of those people. I have a Giant Eagle card with me, and the only reason why I have it is because you get, if I stop buying gas from Giant Eagle every so often, I get 30 cents off of a gallon of gas. So, but you can't really remove yourself at all easily. You could probably move and not update your address information, but it won't. It won't be easy to remove, and they'll keep gathering information and giving you coupons and so on like that.
One of the things to try with those customer loyalty cards, look at the barcode, take the number, try one number up, one number down, or something in that general range if you want to confuse the living hell out of a system. Not that I've really ever done that. I'm just saying that's a possibility. I was going to ask you about Spock earlier. Spock seems to have been bought or become iSearch, and I don't see where you can get the API keys anymore. Have you been messing around with Spock any?
Honestly, I'm not too sure. I haven't actually been on Spock, the Spock.com in a while. I've actually been using the Integra scan and a few other the free ones. I don't know. I'm sure you could probably, I might try contacting them, see if maybe they'll freely give out the APIs. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd like to get some more links from you for good sites.
Okay.
I was actually on Encyclopedia Dramatica on the doxing section, and then I can't remember the name of the exact URL for it, but it's this particular site that you type in a username, and it checks like a bunch of different social networking sites and other types of sites to see if that one's taken. So you can go to see and
I know what you're vaguely talking about. There's also an application that's called Low Orbital Laser.
Low Orbit Ion Cannon. But that's a denial of service.
There is a actual plus version of that that's kind of underground, and it has more features. And it has one of those features where you can actually type in information or a Facebook like name or something like that, and it'll try to brute force it and so on. So there's a...
Well, I think what he's saying is there was a particular site where you can put in somebody's username.
Oh, yeah.
And it'll actually go and spider throughout the internet over a couple of different locations and try and pull information from that username.
Yeah. Oh, in this particular case, it just tell you whether or not that username exists on those particular websites. Then you can go check yourself, but you don't have to manually go check on every one by yourself for that particular profile name.
That was actually one feature I really liked about Spock.com is that you were able to use the username or email address over just putting in the full name.
You still can on iSearch.
Can you?
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to check that out. But yeah, get with me after the talk, and I'll try and pull up some of the links. Does anybody else have any questions?
Oh, that man over there.
So using the mic, it just allows us to record the audio too.
Going back to the kind of customer loyalty cards, there's actually a site out there, and the name's eluding me at the moment, where you could basically say, you know, hey, I'm going to Giant Eagle, and you can go get somebody else's card, barcode, print it out, and then it's, you know, kind of data bombing them, you know, because they've got, you know, hundreds of people all using that card that day, and then the next day it'll come up with a different barcode, and, you know, you go use it again that way. So you're kind of poisoning their database that way.
Do you happen to know the name of that site? Or
no, I've got to look it up again. But that's I've used it before. It's pretty fun.
I definitely like to know the name of that site. Well, actually, one thing about the loyalty cards I wanted to mention is in our era we have the Giant Eagle loyalty card, and we have Gas Station Speedway. They have a loyalty card. One day I went to go, when you go to the prepaid pumps, you can either use your credit card or you can do the slide your loyalty card and it'll recognize who you are, then you can go inside and pay later. One thing I discovered is if I took my Giant Eagle card and used it at Speedway, it would work exactly the same and pull up my account for Speedway. So I'm assuming that they're either using a license number or they're using a social security number or some kind of main identifying string between these two different companies to identify you on the card. I've never messed around with it or tried to check out the barcode or the magnetic strip yet, because I don't have the ability for that magnetic strip. I don't have the technology for it. But I do know that it did work once. I don't know if it would work vice versa. I never tried it, but yeah.
It's quite common.
I've actually been wondering about the databases at the grocery stores and whatnot, and I've thought about if everybody, let's just say in this room, used the same frequent shopper discount for like
that would be
Second
really,
Harvest
really
Food
cool
Bank or something.
Because let's
you could
say
actually
we
just
start
make it a charity, so everybody just uses the same charity code, and so
like
you get your discount, they
card.
Get the frequent buyer points or whatever, fuel perks even,
yeah,
and so you completely destroy the integrity of their system. But
yeah, if you actually would really want to actually destroy the integrity of their system, I mean, you could start with this guy here, give him the card for a week, and then daisy chain it all the way around this room. By the time it got to the guy back there with the spiky hair, he'd probably be getting $2 off of gas, and he'll be getting crazy discounts.
I think the young lady in the blue shirt in the back had a question.
I was just going to say, we've actually discovered in the town that we live in, doing word driving, a lot of open or even lockdown Wi-Fi. There's a company in our town that we use the address or the name of the people that own the house. And you can literally tell that's their address, that's their internet. It's either locked down or wide open. And that's the name of where their service is.
And where was this at?
Findlay, Ohio.
Findlay?
Oh, those right fins.
Well, there's actually, speaking of war driving and finding weird information, there's actually a company that's in the Austintown, Ohio area where we were just war driving, just picking up different access points because we were bored one night. And we actually came across this company that have the human resources department with their own wireless. They had the accounting department with their own wireless. And they had their production and everything with their own wireless, all unsecured. Every last one was open. What made it really bad is when we connected to the accounts one, there was a computer that was, well, it was a shared server with all kind of open documents right there. I didn't go into them. Well, I did a few, but I didn't go far, far into them to get, you know, specific information. But, I mean, just, yeah, as far as Wi-Fi security, especially with it being labeled accounting. So, yeah, I can definitely see companies being dumb enough to label with the addresses. I know AT&T, they have it where you actually, to log into the modem, or not the modem, it was the wireless modem.
Two-wire modem, yeah.
You have to put in your username, your password, and it's all sent over plain text. So if somebody's sitting on your network and they're packet sniffing, they're going to get it. So, but I think we're out of time. All right.
Oh, darn.
Well, yeah, we're out of time, guys. I really appreciate you attending our talk. My name, like I said, I'm Mike, and this is Sippy Cup. We're going to be over in, what is that, Carter,
Armitage?
Down Armitage. I'm sorry. We're going to be over in the Armitage room if anybody has any questions or want to have further discussion about this. They will be on the Ohio Hacker site. I'm going to try and post them here as soon as we're done, but it all depends on what happens when I walk out of here because I need a cigarette. I guess that's a wrap.
Too bad we didn't get a chance.